Hello, everybody. It's another Tuesday, and you've got to love this music. I'm a steel drummer, and I got to spend 6 hours playing Saturday, and it was such a relief from dealing with dead people all the time. And I guess that's what we are when we are genealogists. We kind of deal with dead people. We're looking for dead people. It's a little bit different than being an investigator that we're used to hearing about, but it's really using the same process in doing genealogy and looking for our ancestors or ancestors of other people. And today we're going to talk about that because, you know, genealogy is a process, and we've been talking over these many, many months, if you go back into the archives, about the healing process that I think takes place through the study of our ancestors and through that, the study of self. And a lot of people don't know how to get started. And way back when, I think I was one of those who had no clue how to get started. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to help other people get started. And it's very important that you do get started out on the right foot. You know, there are so many things available to us today that were not available many, many years ago, both online and various different archival sites. But one of the things that's not very prevalent, and we're going to talk about that today, is how to get started, how to hire a professional genealogist, how to look for one. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it now that I've hung my shingle out here for about 4 or 5 months, being not a professional genealogist rather than running just a website. So from both sides of the coin, I think that it's very important that we look into this. So I have a very exciting guest to talk to us about this process today, and her name is Deb Irwin. And about 2 years ago, she and her partner put together a new site called genealogyfreelancers.com. And the purpose of the site is really to help both sides of the coin, more or less, to help you, the potential client, to find someone that can help jumpstart your research or to do the research in total, or to maybe fill in some blanks and break down the brick wall. Or, from my professional genealogist perspective, a place where we can hang our shingle out as well to hopefully garner clients and be able to provide the services that we do. So, Deb, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Susan. I'm really excited about being here.
Well, I am really excited to be for you to be with me because, you know, I was reading your bio because we've never met until, what, about a month ago when I happened upon your site. And in reading your bio, we have a lot of overlapping experiences that are kind of interesting and profound, even our, the travel experience that we both share over into Eastern Europe. So you probably, more so than I, have a lot more experience being a professional genealogist. So let's talk a little bit about what prompted you to start genealogyfreelancers.com.
Well, it really wanted an alternative to what is out there. As you said, there is just a handful. I mean, just so much stuff out there. And at some point, that gets pretty heady. Sometimes a lot is too much, and a lot of the clients that are looking for somebody, believe it or not, are a little intimidated, not only because there is so much, but because they're afraid of sounding stupid. You know, I don't mean that as a flip thing to say, but they're just starting on this experience. They don't have what we have. You know, we have the experience of the mythology, the stuff that is the key to genealogy. They are just looking for a cathartic experience. And I've heard you say that genealogy is not just for genealogists, and I honestly could not believe, agree with that more. These people are just wanting this experience to maybe rectify the past, to honor someone, or just to belong to a bigger picture. So their experience in trying to find somebody for that particular job is not as easy as one would think. And I'm sure that you've had the same experience where a client, if I had a dime for every time a client has said this to me, I'd be a very wealthy woman, but they preface their request almost always with when I was a kid, you know, I was just not that interested. And now I really would like to know about my family, but my parents are gone and I have nobody to ask anymore.
Right.
So that is where they come in. They don't know what to ask. So if they find a researcher that is specific to their area, then great. Other than that, we wanted to have a place for them to go that they didn't have to feel that intimidation, that they could just get it out there and put that question out there and have somebody that felt for them, because there's got to be compassion involved in genealogy, or it just isn't there. And that right person for that case to understand them and to take that journey with them could make an offer, and the two can meet. That was really the seed. You know, I really wanted others to feel what I had felt. For me, and I'm sure for you, and I know it's for you, because I have been such an admirer of yours, Susan, from the get-go. Jewish Jen is just, you know, it is what it is. It's a mainstay, and it's a beauty to genealogy, and I thank you for that. I'm sure millions can thank you for that. But that is the feeling that I had, and that I really wanted to give to the community, to other researchers and to seekers, that would connect to each other and make that journey a possibility.
And, you know, you bring this up because, you know, I've been saying this for months now that I've been having an opportunity to say it on the radio, is that genealogy is a journey. And mm-hmm. you don't always know where this journey is going to take you. And that is really kind of the exciting part, because, you know, there's a lot of processing that goes on, both from the part of the person who's looking as well as the person who's actually doing the research. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've had several cases that, you know, the stories were so compelling that, I mean, I literally took on the role of my client, and I felt their pain, and I, you know, felt the emotions that must have been going on with the people that were involved in some of these traumatic experiences. And, you know, at some point it became really very, very, very difficult from me, even being a third-party bystander, to cope with what, you know, my clients were trying to cope with. So you never know. I mean, some journeys are very easy and very simple, and, you know, some, you know, miraculously, you know, you find one little breakthrough and in a few minutes, and the next thing you know, you're back to William of Scotland. But, you know, others, in some cases, just take a methodical, you know, hammer at a brick wall just to, you know, find the answers that the clients are looking for. So, from that perspective, you know, I think from, you know, looking at it from both perspectives, and truth be told, I mean, I've been in genealogy now for 27 years, but I've never taken on cases until a few months ago. And I hate to say it, but I'm loving every minute of it, and I'm
right.
I'm doing caseloads that you would never suspect me to be doing, because of my background in Jewish genealogy. While I do have some Jewish cases, I'm actually doing a lot, you know, that are taking me back to William of Scotland, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. You know, I guess where I'm headed with this is, you know, from a seeker's point of view, you know, how do you help them, you know, find the right mix? I mean, is there something in this along the site in genealogyfreelancers.com that, you know, really allows them to find the right mix of people? Because there is. Granted, I've had some clients that, you know, I don't fit. And, you know, so in any event, from that perspective, like, you know, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Because I think, you know, finding the right person, it's like finding the right doctor for all practical purposes.
Absolutely. Susan, that's a good analogy. You're talking about how you have found a compassion in it. And I truly believe that there are two aspects of genealogy. Both should be there. And that's methodology, which you have to cite your sources. You have to do what is right, because it could be incorrect. And, you know, what will that do? It also goes insidiously throughout the internet in these trees that just aren't correct.
Right.
So we have to have that. We have to have that end of it. But we also have to have the compassionate end. And that is where we come in, where there is actual choice in the right fit. The specialist can ask questions, and there's a private message board where the two can meet and discuss things. Who's ever put the offer up there? You can feel them out. You know, if there's something in your own criteria that you need to mix with another individual, you can find that there. And as you said, it definitely is a journey, and you can't take this lightly. If a specialist is flip and complacent in any of their research, then it's going to be felt. It's wonderful to have a report, but it's doubly wonderful when the person who has done that report is on the same plane as you, who has the same excitement. And the day that I don't have that excitement is the day that I don't want to do it anymore. And that I believe is what we can give to these people. That would be a little bit different than just finding somebody out of thin air that you will hope might have that same feeling. And I'm not saying that, you know, methodology alone isn't something that is great to have. But as you said with the doctor, you can look at it the same way. If there's a doctor who sits there and listens to the patient, listens to every symptom that they have, that same doctor can then find something that the MRI didn't, because he heard something in that, and then that would have him order a test that would give that new diagnosis, where a doctor who is just about the science of medicine may have missed it. It's not saying that he's not a good doctor. It's just that there's something in listening. And if you do listen in genealogy, then you can hear those ancestors speak to you. You can visualize their faces. You can then hear them tell you which way to turn next. You know, it's very helpful when you can hear them talk.
Well, now you're proving to me that I am not crazy. Because I do. I mean, it is... You know, and I started off the show saying, you know, I needed a break from dead people. I mean, when you're 15 or 20 cases and they're all yelling at you, you know, look here. I mean, you know, you feel them, and you feel their energies, you feel their spirits, and, you know,
right.
There's a reason that these people at this particular time in their lives, you know, are calling upon these spirits and their ancestors to guide them to some place, and I really believe that, because I believe that mine guided me into, you know, genealogy, you know, altogether, because there was absolutely no one in my family interested or involved in genealogy until I became involved. And, you know, I think that a lot of it is breaking of, you know, patterns, and, you know, really healing schisms that you know, families had that have, you know, existed multi-generational, but the living survivors and the heirs, you know, really don't even know what the stories are. And it is really quite amazing. But they do. They do speak to you, and they speak to you once you get started. I mean, they really do. They will speak to you if you allow them to. And we talked about that last week on my show with Melissa Fry. You know, that you do see them. You see images of them. I mean, sometimes when you know, someone will finally find a picture of an ancestor, and I'll go, oh, I know this person. So you do. You become, you know, part of, as a genealogist professional, you know, you actually become part of these individual lives for whatever period of time that you are engaged.
Right. They're not dead. They may be deceased, but they're not dead. And they do have a story, and you have to treat that client with the same respect that they are giving to their family, and that's what it is for them. They really, really want to give something back. They're getting the report, yes, they get something, but that isn't the trip. They're giving to the past. They're giving to their family today, and they're, as you've said many a times, they're healing themselves in some way or another. And you know, I absolutely believe that we are in such a wonderful field, and that it's growing in leaps and bounds. You know, some of it is growing in directions of wanting to be related to, you know, Brad Pitt, that type of thing. But that will end. The beauty of genealogy will stay. And that is what we hope to achieve. We hope to be a mainstay. You know, like Jewish Gen is a mainstay. It will always be its initial mission. And that's what we want to be. We don't ever want to be big business or just another little gimmick to make a dollar. We want this to be a feeling that will last a lifetime for these people, and for both sides, for the researcher, the specialist, the calligrapher, all of those things, and the other side. And the day that ends, then I don't want to do it either. That was where we started, and that's where I've taken a cue from you. The way you started and what it grew into be is just so admirable, Susan, and
that is
what we would like to achieve. I mean, I'm certain that it is a totally different thing, but the underlying mission is the same.
And, you know, and that is so true for any small business, is staying true to your mission. And, you know, As you mentioned, I mean, you know, there are other companies out there that provide such a service, but, you know, the key is when you get involved with a company, too, that really has your heart in their hands and really want to provide a service, to people and who see it as a journey. It's very important. And, you know, when people come onto your site, and I'm sure, you'll have someone that says, you know, I want to find, you know, my family going back 15 generations or some, you know, cockamamie.
Right.
You know, and, you know, and then you have some who come on who, you know, really have a realistic goal in place, and you know, I think that the more you give reason to what it is you're looking for, the more clearer the objective of what you're trying to do and what you want a researcher to do, you know, can be communicated. Because You know, that really, there's a reason. There is a reason that you're interested in doing this. And you cannot tell me, and I've been saying this now for months, that, you know, we're not into genealogy because we want a date, a name, and a place.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, that is, that's the information that guides us to wrapping a story around it. But it is not. And there are not millions and millions and millions of people out there involved in doing genealogy today because they just want to write down names, dates, and places. I am convinced that that is not our story of why genealogy has become so popular. It's because of the stories, the feelings, the emotions, the connection with our past, you know, so that we can move on to the future, the healing that, you know, we want to do closure. You know, there's a big closure of that sometimes with finding some of this information that we're looking for. You know, and some of it are family secrets, and those are the scariest for clients because,
absolutely,
you know, they know there's something there. They have shied away from doing it because they're scared of what they might find. But I can tell you from experience and just in a few short months, really, that the healing process of opening up those wounds and getting the answers to the questions are far more greater, you know, than holding on to these secrets and always in wonderment of what went on. So give me the idea of some of the types of projects, you know, and types of researchers that, you know, are involved in genealogyfreelancers.com.
Well, we have anything from a simple lookup, and in turn, the specialist for that might be an amateur. Somebody who's just gotten out of school or just trying to get their feet wet into just simple things, you know, looking up a death record in an Illinois repository somewhere. And then they're doing that so that they can gain a little bit more experience. Then we have some projects that will be, as you said, a 17-generational study. And, you know, some people will put in there, that's exactly what they want. And we have to sort of cajole them a little bit to say, well, what is the, what exactly are you looking for? 17 is a bit vague. But, you know, in regards to that, you can't really, fault someone for that because they don't understand the process.
No.
And you do have to tell them. A little bit about, okay, well, you know, what is it exactly? And, you know, once you start asking those questions, they know a lot more than they think they did, as you probably know. I mean, just a letter that may have been sitting around in a sewing basket may have teased to things that they never would have known. You know, it's always a domino. And so you just have to give them a little bit of push. We'll do it sometimes if we see that no one is really asking them a particular seeker any questions. We'll say, well, maybe it's because you don't have enough of this and that. And we are implementing a better form so that they can fill that in rather than just put something out there because it is difficult. And sometimes it's even more difficult for the foreign researchers that we have. Their English is good, but it's limited in some
right.
of the terms that Americans will tend to use. So we'll put that out there. There's that type of request. There's also specific locations. They absolutely know where they're at, where the family started out at, and they actually know the parish or the synagogue. They know a lot. And they have reached a brick wall at this point, and they do need somebody in a foreign country to actually do it. They have exhausted all the LDS that has been microfilmed over here, and they have done the U.S. research to a great degree, or U.K. or Australia, and now they need to go abroad, and they need somebody specific to that location. So we get a lot of that, and in turn, we have the specialists just waiting for somebody in that area. And that, you know, that too is one of the reasons we started it. And I'm sure with your experience in Eastern Europe, you might be able to relate to this. A lot of my researchers there, they may be in Savaki and need to go all the way down to Wrocław. And that, you know, that's a journey for one case. So.
Sure.
For them, or any researcher in any country, if they could pick up another case in that area, you know, that's a very cost effective thing to do, and you know, they could be there a little bit longer and help 2 to 3 people in their search rather than just one. So that was one of the reasons for that.
Just as an aside, if we have any listeners out there that have any questions for Deborah, I want to give out our phone number. It's 888-815-9756. We will be taking your calls if you want to call in, want to discuss any particular thing that has to do with starting out on your genealogy quest, or any issues or questions that you might have about hiring a professional. So we're here, and we'd love to hear from you, so give us a holler. In the meantime, one of the things that I've noticed, you know, with some of the clients, and I have to really push to get it, is the family stories. You know,
mm-hmm.
They'll be very quick to say, here's what I'm looking for, and here, they were born on this date, they died on this date. You know, we don't quite know what happened to them. You know, we lost them after this date. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't, you know, and from the people who are looking to hire a researcher, you know, you need to be prepared to let loose of whatever it is that you do know. And it may not make any sense to you, but it may make some sense as we, you know, progress through a case. There's one in particular that I mentioned early on that was absolutely very compelling and emotional for me. And, you know, when I first saw the request, I mean, it was just your normal, you know, I'm looking for this family, and they were living here at this point in time, and, you know, oh, no big deal. And so, you know, when I went back to them after, you know, getting the project, I said, so, you know, before I get going, I want to, you know, are there any stories or anything that I really need to know? And it was, you know, the response that I got from that pretty much had my chills going up and down my spine and my hair curling and everything else that could happen, because I least expected what it was I saw, and it was pretty pretty gruesome stuff. So, you know, and the client says to me, he says, well, you asked for it, you know, and I did. So, you know, those of us who are in the business do understand confidentiality, and you know, that's why you're only hearing what I'm telling you. But in any event, you know, yeah, those who are trying to go out and seek professional researchers' help, you know, please know that you know, most of us pretty much understand the whole confidentiality, and going back to, you know, the concept of a doctor, you know, we are becoming part of your life for a period of time, and you know, we have to understand too that there are some things that, you know, really shouldn't be and will not be discussed. So it's
right.
A very interesting thing, you know, that we have to pay attention to, and then we have to pay attention to the client's emotions as well.
Right, that goes with the seeker searching for that specific researcher. It, just as you said, I mean, there's there are things that they might not want to say. But if they start feeling that you're along with them on this trip, then they have no qualms in doing it. It's important to them to feel that bond. You know, genealogy for a lot of people is just the be-all and end-all. But for others, it could be a little like watching paint dry or showing, you know, the pictures of your daughter as an infant to anybody who will listen or to look at it. I mean, it's interesting sometimes to you only. And so for somebody to take this trip, they want it to be of interest to someone else. You know, it's a very private thing, but it's also something that you need to share with someone. In most cases, you know, it might not always be that way, but typically those seeking their family history want to share it. It's such an exciting and personal thing, but it's just something that they need to get out there. You know, you see the twittering and all that of people talking in social networks, because they have to. A lot of them are, you know, let's face it, a lot of them are show-offs about methodology, but a good portion of them have a compassion for it that they really need to share. And so that's why it's out there. And but in the other sense, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day as far as twittering goes. It's such a great thing, but could you imagine if it had been the Twitter's of Anne Frank? What a difference that would have been for that young girl. There's something very, very private about genealogy, but it is, in a greater sense, meant for the world. She wrote that diary alone and with her own thoughts. But there was a part of her that knew somewhere that her hope was to get it out there. I don't think on the if it had been the Twitters of Anne Frank, would it have had the same impact?
Right.
Because people are altered once they know that people are listening. But there's a difference in that private world, and thank God for that. You know, I mean, I love the social networking and the whole nine yards, but I still love the privacy of genealogy.
I know, but it's not no longer that private. I'm going to tell you, you know, you can find things now about yourself that, you know, might even curl your own hair.
I know.
I mean, it's it's been all over the news today. I had CNN on, and, you know, all of these public databases now that people are using to get background checks, and, you know, how, in fact, I'm watching the image right now on CNN about how someone applied for a job and the birthday and the name matched someone else, and, you know, you've got a lot of things to worry about. And from a genealogist perspective, you know, we welcome, you know, some of this information, because Lord knows, Deb, when we got started back in 1987, you know, about at the same time, you know, there was no such thing as any of this. And, you know, we had to, you know, spend the hours, you know, going through microfilm readers with our, you know, cranking. And, I mean, I even started, I think, before there were even motorized ones of those. So, you know, it's
and loss of vision. Loss of our vision over the years.
Yes. Well, I hate to say it. I'm losing it over the computer screen, too. I have three pairs of glasses now I have to switch between because my eyes get crazed after being at the computer for long hours. But, you know, one of the things, too, and I think, this is important, you know, to me. And a lot of people, you know, really need help just getting jump-started. And that's really where, you know, I like to focus my practice is, and that's what I did, you know, for the 20 some odd years before that, is really provide the tools and the skills to help people, you know, embark on this journey. And, you know, now I'm, you know, doing it privately, you know, it's still very important for me and you know, to really be more of a facilitator after we get started rather than doing it for someone. And, you know, I'm a very strong proponent of that, because you don't really reach the full potential of the benefits of the really understanding the lives of these people as you start really trying to hunt them down, until you really start looking at the record yourself and you start seeing who was living next door to them and what kinds of occupations that they had and who was living with them. And, you know, if they were farmers, you know, who, where, you know, the who was on the next farm, you know, from them. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, and I just finished a case, actually, that really harps on this. And this is why, you know, helping people is important. You know, the client found the census record, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was real pure, light and day. I mean, there's the census record. And they recorded the census record, and, you know, and you know, that's normal. But what they didn't do, and they were looking for, you know, the father of this particular person who was on the census, but what they failed to do, and, you know, which you and I as professionals know to do, is to look at whose else is there. Because
right.
What was very obvious was that there was another person at the next farm with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
And his first name happened to be very strange, whereas the name the client was researching happened to be a William or a John or a James or something like that. So, you know, by having another name, you know, it took a matter of, and I hate to say this, a matter of 30 minutes or so to get back that generation. And so, you know, there are just so many things that, you know, those of us who have been doing this for a long time know to do that those who are just embarking don't know what to do. So
right.
You know, as the professional researcher, you know, the role that we should be playing is, you know, to help and to guide them and to give them the tricks of the trade so that the next time they go look at a census record for somebody else, they're going to go look and see who's living next door. So, you know, I always believe in helping people help themselves, and that's really you know, the methodology that, you know, I like to use.
Absolutely. You know, they need to get jump-started themselves, and when they do, then it actually helps the researcher as well. Anything that they can tell you is gold. Anything
it
that
is.
They can tell you.
It is. You ready to take a caller? We have Nathaniel from California on line one.
Hello.
Hey, Nathaniel.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you. You have a question?
Yes, I was wondering about a move. Do you see me moving at all?
Excuse me?
Do you see me moving?
Oh, moving.
Move, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we are not doing psychic readings this hour, Nathaniel. We're talking about genealogy. So are you thinking about moving?
Yes, but I'm pretty genealogy, okay.
Yeah, that is the subject for this hour.
Okay.
So do you have any questions on genealogy?
Could you tell me, do you have any interpretation? What would my genealogy be? What would my genealogy be?
Well, we certainly don't know without you sharing some of the information. I tell you what, Nathaniel, why don't, you know, we will be having some other types of spiritual guests on the show in the future. So let's move on, Deb.
Okay.
That's what happens, I guess, when we jump around
with live radio.
with live radio and you know, with topics that people are looking for. Last week, I wish you had called. Nathaniel, pay attention to the schedule. We would have loved to have had your call last week. Melissa could have probably been of great help to you. But again, here we let's go back to genealogy, and we will take callers just on the subject of genealogy. How about that?
Okay.
yeah, I've got the producer writing me notes too, so if I'm a little distracted, that's okay. You know, it's a multitasking in this world we have today.
That's all right.
Yeah. So one of the things that you do on your website is that you allow people both on both sides to break down their areas of expertise, mm-hmm. and try to match people with with the right people. Is that correct?
Right. Yes. What they'll do, again, is they'll post a project, and they'll either list a location, a specialty of research, calligraphy, whatever, and that will automatically connect, cross-referencing the specialists who have listed that location as their specialty or a specialty, and then we will automatically announce that to those specialists. They'll come take a look at the project. If it's something that they're interested in making an offer on, they will do so. And once they do so, the seeker can then take a look at those offers, ask questions through the private message board, and get a feeling for each other, and then they can make a selection. And then once that starts, once the selection is made, then it's off to private land. They will both get the contact information, and then the client is theirs. They are just on their own. And what happens then? We aren't sure until they get the rating. And so far, wonderful ratings for all the specialists that are up there. And that's a really good Geiger counter in some terms for other seekers to come in and take a look at that specialist, not only their profile, but if they have ratings for jobs that they had already done, they can take a look at that and see what other people have to say about them, if it was a good experience. You know, a lot of people are doing that today. I mean, word of mouth is and will always be one of the best indicators of somebody's abilities. I mean, certainly education, certainly organizations, associations, that is all part and parcel to this field. But the bottom line is what they have done for other people. That it's very, very helpful. So we do think the rating system is good and should stay in place.
Right. Now, you know, there are a couple of things, too, and I mean, you know, as you know, a professional genealogist normally get paid for their time, not for what they accomplish, because, you know, we're at the mercy of the records that are available during a time period that and a location that, you know, either exist or don't. And you know, it's very difficult, you know, and especially from sitting on my side of the fence is, you know, I mean, I want to do wonderful for everybody. I mean, you know, even despite the fact that I can't find anything. And that is probably one of the most frustrating experiences that one can have is, you know, to get into a project and to see that, oh my God, there isn't a record available for any of the time periods, any of the places that I really need to get my hands on that are going to give me the best clue. And, you know, you really, you see there's pretty much a very helpless feeling there. Not, you know, not your fault by any stretch of the imagination. So,
right.
You know, and, you know, people have to be aware of that. And, you know, from, you know, from a perspective of a researcher, I mean, we want to deliver. I mean, there is this, you know, definite urge to, you know, be able to deliver, you know, something, whether it's a clue or a lead or, you know, 18 generations back to William of Scotland, you know.
Right.
want to deliver something.
You know, you just have to teach these people or let them know that negative findings are findings. They still are findings. It
exactly.
finds that it wasn't there. That is some place or some repository, something that doesn't exist there, so therefore you don't need to check it again. We can wipe it out. So a negative is really a positive. It's hard for that client to do that, especially an innocent client that has absolutely no experience whatsoever in the field, where you know, they sometimes will expect absolute positive results. You know, although I have to say that isn't the prevalent thing. I have really, it has been my personal experience anyway, that genealogy seekers are really a patient bunch. They know that there is a process after you communicate that with them. After a few little sessions, they know that it wasn't something that you could just grab your hands on and get the information for them. They do know that there's something to it. And again, I will stress that if you take that compassionate journey with them, they are more apt to allow that process to take place and therefore become more patient. But we can't, you know, it is so wonderful when you can be Santa and give them that Christmas day with these records. I mean, I never lose that excitement of presenting that to them.
Right.
And for the, you know, the first years that I was doing this, I just absolutely dreaded a negative finding. Dreaded
yes.
it. I dreaded talking to them about it. But again, you know, we'd become almost friends through this, and they felt my disappointment. And once they feel your disappointment, they're less disappointed because they know that, oh, okay, you searched, you really did, you want to find this. Okay, where do we go now? That's that whole thing about a relationship that I'm talking about. And after a while, I wasn't so afraid to do it. And still, you know, I still dread it to some degree. You don't want to give that to anyone that nothing was found. But it's still okay if you are on that journey with them.
Right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there are some that question your professionalism if you can't deliver. So, you know, they're rare, but they exist. And, you know, we as researchers have to pick our clients probably almost as much as the clients have to pick us.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about specialty areas, because I think that those that are not into genealogy or yet may not really understand you know what we're really saying and what, you know, if they're looking to hire a researcher, you know, really what they are looking for. So I know on your homepage, you know, you have a lot of things listed, but let's kind of go through some of those. I think it's important. Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have lost you for a second.
Okay. Did you miss the question?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wanted to kind of discuss the various types of specialty areas because, you know, I think that people who are just getting started or want to get started may not fully understand, you know, what a specialty area really means. And it can be both in product and in, you know, places and types of research. So I just thought it might be interesting for you to kind of go through some of those. With the audience.
Okay. Well, you know, first we have genealogy research, which is a generalization, really. I mean, anything that would be, again, from just a look up to an entire generational study. That would be somebody that you would try to find if the, either one of those things that you're doing. But we are going to also very shortly narrow that down a little bit more, such as lookups, because that is definitely more geared to somebody coming out into the field, or somebody who just happens to live right near an archive or something. Okay, and then we have heirs and probate, and that is specific to finding people that have are the descendants, and typically that lawyers are more involved in that type of thing, somebody settling an estate of sorts. So
right.
They would be more inclined to use that specialty. In pedigree charts, that would be just somebody who is very good at putting that information that you have together in a very nice and wonderful chart that can be given for gifts or just for your own private pleasure, or to put on the net somewhere, and it's just to get it together. And that's typically from somebody who's already had their research done. Translations, of course, and we have people say, you know, well, why do you have translations on there? You can go anywhere for that. But as you know, especially with Eastern European, I mean, you've got Cyrillic, you've got Polish, you've got German, you've got Ukrainian. I mean, there are so many different languages, but a lot of them are in the tongue of Shakespeare. They are completely different than the Ukrainian and Cyrillic and Polish that we know of today. I mean, just go ahead and read an English document from 1650 and see if it even resembles today's English, and I'll be shocked. So,
well, you know, I've got a funny story about that. You know, I mean, yeah, the German, early German script. I mean, you couldn't even, you can't hardly pick out a letter to more or less
right.
Word. But you know, if you go back to some of the early American documents, there are no S's.
They all look like F's.
They all look like F's, and you know, there was a period of time when I first started in genealogy, everybody made fun of me, and they started calling me Fufan, F-U-F-A-N, you know, and they were making fun of my lack of early American ancestry, which I but in any event, yes, it's, yeah, trying to find Mississippi is
Mississippi.
Miffa-fuffy. Oh well, that's a funny story. But I will let you know that I call all my computers FUF, and
well, thank you for that movement.
And you know what can I say? So you know I've kept that for 27 odd years now. All right, let's go back. I mean, I'm digressing.
So really, the translations, it is a different ball game than just contemporary translations. Then we have mentoring. You know, that is something new that we have in there, and that somebody new can
yep.
contact somebody who is a seasoned genealogist or a calligrapher, any of those specialties they can contact with and learn from. And I mean, it's a very, very personal experience and a personal relationship that you can have with somebody. And hopefully that starts to move. We'll need to announce that a little bit more or whatever, but that's something that excites me a lot, because I think that it would be a very advantageous for both sides.
Talking about that, because mentoring is really the area that I like most. I'd rather help someone do the research rather than sit and go through the books myself. I can do
You'd be perfect at it. I mean,
but
you'd absolutely be perfect
at it.
That's
what I prefer to do.
Well, I will be absolutely all ears and how to market that a little bit further. We can talk later on that, because that would be just a wonderful process because you would be great at it. And I can think of so many of our specialists that absolutely have that compassion. And on the other side to that, they learn as well. The specialists will learn too, again. And sometimes they need to get that kick again, that excitement, that kickstart, to feel that electricity.
Yep.
And so it's a two-way street. So I think the mentoring program will be a great hit and very good for both sides.
Sure.
And then, you know, we have publishing, where if somebody has their story or wants to use our system to get their genealogy on paper, then they can also use the publishing specialists that are very good in that, where a nice, wonderful book can be bound together for them with every detail, with the photos that they submit, the whole nine yards. And, I mean, talk about an heirloom. That's just an absolutely beautiful thing. I just received from one of my clients a book that they had done. And it moved me to tears. I mean, I've been on this journey with this particular family for 3 years. I mean, we just keep going and going and going. He's on his,
right.
It was his second tour that we connected, 120 this time, that they've met in, near Savagi. And that is just kick butt. But
yeah.
Lest I digress, I'm getting off.
We're coming to the, close to the end of this hour, if you can believe it. So
wow! And I was nervous. I loved it. This was really, really nice, Susan.
Yeah.
I hope people come.
I mean, we can go over if we want to. I mean, okay. I don't have anybody following us. I kind of like the slot because it kind of gives me a little flexibility. It may not last for long, but for right now, we can keep going a little bit. I just don't want to take up all your time either.
Well, no, the only thing that I would like to say, I would love for, we get a lot of suggestions from our members, which to me is the best, because they know what it is that they want. And I would just love to encourage that more. I mean, look to the site very soon now for a lot of changes, and that's because over the past year we have been gathering a lot of those suggestions, and the ones that keep coming up are the ones that are going to be in there. And it's so wonderful to know that there are people out there that are champions, and not just because of the site, but because they also believe in this concept. There's nothing better on earth than hearing from a researcher saying that they had no idea how to break into the business. It seemed daunting to them in some way or another. And so, this concept, we just had one of the gentlemen saying, this is my third one. I mean, he sounded like a kid. And it tickles us. That's exactly what we wanted to happen. And it's slowly getting there. And with each and every day, each and every person that has a story, we just want them to spread it out there, to talk about us, because we're on their side. And we'd love for this to just move, because
right.
It is for them.
Well, you'll know when it's moving. You know,
well,
it'll hit you. But you know, the main thing is, you know, for everyone out there who's listening, is that, you know, here is an opportunity and here is a site, and it doesn't cost anything to go there, correct?
Right.
And basically, you know, if you want to hire a researcher, then you get bids, and then you pay an escrow, you know, the amount that you've been quoted. But, you know, it doesn't cost anything to get quotes. You know, it's really a service that you know, is sorely needed, and it really doesn't. And we were going through the list of you know, types of specialties. But, you know, there are people there that are specialized in African American, Jewish, mm-hmm. Native American. I have absolutely no idea what this whole obsession is with Native American ancestry, but I've seen more of that than I've seen anything. And some of you might have DAR and SAR backgrounds that you're trying to get connected. You know, there's DNA, and, you know, they're just people who are just plain old good investigators who can dig anything out of anything, and especially for, you know, people that if you're really trying to connect with family that you've lost connections with, whether it be recent within the last century or even, you know, more recent in the last couple of decades. So, you know, these are all different phases of genealogies, and then you have early American, and you have people that specialize in certain locations and localities, and, you know, so, you know, really depending upon what it is you're looking for really depends on, you know, the type of person that you're really looking for. You know, I will never profess to be a early American genealogist. That's not my thing. I mean,
I know more about Poland than I would ever know about Connecticut. I can tell you that. But yes, and if somebody isn't sure of what it is that they're looking for, then just contact us. I mean, you'll get an answer back from us in a jiffy. That will always happen. Nothing will ever be automated. We will get you right away because don't feel any intimidation over that starting that journey. Please don't, because if you put it off, you always will. So it's a matter of questions. Nobody's going to think that you don't know what you're talking about. You know, we never know exactly what we're talking about until we start it. And just contact us if you have any questions whatsoever about what to list as your categories, how to post it. We'll help you along.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And again, the website is www.genealogy, and that's spelled GENEALOGY, freelancers, FREELANCERS .com. And you've been listening to Deb Irwin, who's one of the CEOs and of this particular site and the founder. And, you know, a lot of really good information is available, and we hope you will take advantage if indeed this is a direction that you want to go. Deb, thanks so much for being here. And I told you, chill. We're going to have a good time. We did. So
thank you so much, Susan. I really did have a great time.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm Susan King. My website is www.susaneking.com. And you've been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. And speaking of Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect, there was a big announcement today that a probably one of the largest Holocaust collection has gone online at footnote.com. And although we had planned to have Footnote on the 12th, we've moved them up to next week because for the whole month of October, this collection is going to be available to the public free. And I say this that this is kind of Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. They have a quote on there, and we actually talked about this just a little earlier, that is a very profound quote from Anne Frank, and I'm trying to find it, but she said, and it says on this website, "If I look up into the heavens, I think that it will all come right, that this cruelty too will end, and peace and tranquility will return again." And that is something out of Anne Frank's diary and posted on this site. So I hope you get a chance to go to www.footnote.com and look at the Holocaust collection. And Justin will be on the show next Tuesday. We've moved him up a week, and we'd like to hear your comments about some of this information. That's over a million records, 26,000 photos. And it's very important because truly Anne Frank says that peace and tranquility will return again. You know, it's very important for all of us to make sure that peace and tranquility stays. And I think we need to work at this one person at a time and trying to heal the schisms in the world. So in any event, we look forward to seeing you next week. Again, I'm Susan King, and this has been Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect.